I could do this all day. I wouldn't mind this job. I like this job. I think I might come back and do it again.
Thank you.
Look at that. Look at that. How are you?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Nice to see you.
You made it possible for ordinary people like us to meet you.
You're not ordinary.
I mean, thank you so much.
You are not ordinary. I can see.
We pray for you. And you are the type of person we want to be the president.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
So nice. Thank you very much. Yeah, I took a bullet. That's right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
When you think about it, I guess that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I love that whole exchange there between Trump and this guy at the McDonald's in Pennsylvania, I might add, battleground state. We're going to go through some of that polling. But I thought that was incredibly poignant. And it was just over this weekend. It was yesterday all that came out. He's there in Pennsylvania. And that's the whole the campaign going to Pennsylvania and specifically targeting that area, number one, with this kind of retail, politically retail activity, because he's really good at retail politics. He's very good at taking something and making it personable. Some people are saying that this could be the thing. I don't know if that's the thing that could decide it. But when you compare it to Kamala Harris and the campaign events that she has had, I mean, we're going to get into all of that as well. It's pretty obvious, I got to say. And it looks really bad for her. It just doesn't look good. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We are at this top of this first hour, and we're going to get into all of this stuff. It's a bit, I mean, we're just, you know, we're what, weeks out, a couple of weeks out now at this point. And I mean, this was pretty, I'm telling you, I think it was a really good campaign. I don't want to say stunt, but activity. It really was. I'm looking at some of the video that's autoplaying of it, all the people that are going in. And it just looks, I mean, it was a good campaign event. It was a good PR activity. And the memes, the millions of memes are so great. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. First hour, Monday. I mean, where's my calendar at? Let me pull up my calendar because I need to see, like, is it 2 weeks tomorrow officially? I got to see it first. Hold up. 2 weeks tomorrow. It's crazy. 2 weeks till tomorrow. That's right. 2 weeks, election day. Early voting in Texas starts tomorrow, I think. Or today.
Today.
So I'm trying to, can I just tell you, before we dive into all of this, I like to be a little bit obnoxious about how I go vote. I like to go and vote the day of. But if I'm driving by my voting place and I see that there's a lot of people there, I am an absolute jackwagon and I will get out and I make a big deal like walking past the Democrats to go and vote red. I'm not even joking. Is that mean to say? I will fully confess that I do this. I fully confess it. And then I'll like high five other people who vote red because, you know, you can't wear any, you know, political campaign slogans, blah, blah, blah. You can't wear any of that stuff. And I completely do this though. Is that mean?
No.
I don't think it's mean. I feel like I'm just very exuberantly exercising my rights. Right?
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it is. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. And so one of the things that we're going to touch on, the reason I am like explaining all of this and kind of being a brat about it, is typically Republicans, well, Democrats, you know, do a lot of early voting. A lot of the early returns, all of that stuff that comes in typically are Democrats. But there's a couple of things that are happening. And one of those is there's concern that they may blow through their stack, so to speak. And they're watching some of that in Pennsylvania. And they've got questions about some of that. So we're gonna talk about all of it. But the tale of two campaigns. So McDonald's, I thought the way McDonald's handled this was super classy. I know. They released a statement This was yesterday. And this was actually pretty amazing. I don't know whoever decided to write this for McDonald's needs a raise. They wrote, quote, earlier today, former President Trump visited a McDonald's restaurant in Pennsylvania following a request made to our local franchisee. As we've seen, our brand has been a fixture of conversation in this election cycle. While we've not sought this, it's a testament to how much McDonald's resonates with so many Americans. This is brilliant. I'm going to read this whole because it's actually genius. So buckle up. So they said, they go, McDonald's does not endorse candidates for elected office, and that remains true in this race for the next president. We are not red or blue. We are golden. Though we are not a political brand, we've been proud to hear former President Trump's love for McDonald's and Vice President Harris's fond memories of working under the arches. Wink, wink. While we and our franchisees don't have records for all positions dating back to the early 80s, what makes 1 in 8 so powerful is the shared experiences so many Americans have had. They said that when owner-operator Derek G. Giacomantonio was approached by local law enforcement about the president's desire to visit a Pennsylvania restaurant, he was proud to highlight how he and his team serve their local community, make delicious food. And they said, learning of his, including the fries, they said, learning of his request, they approached it through the lens of one of our core values. We open our doors to everyone. And they said, it's with that same approach that franchisees have invited Vice President Harrison Walz to their, you know, their restaurant. And they said that they want to provide, you know, meaningful pathways, blah, blah, blah. And they said that their strength comes down to their people, that it's been hard-earned effort. And they said, thank you for everything you do for our brand, for serving our customers, talking to their people and communities with great pride for upholding our core values and opening our doors to all. That is valedictorian in marketing. That is amazing because it's, I mean, they didn't, I think it's kind of because the 1 in 8 is apparently 1 in 8 U.S. citizens have worked at McDonald's at some point. And so the fact that they kind of like piggybacked off of that and made that like a whole thing is actually quite brilliant. It's refreshing to see a company make a smart move in terms of PR, isn't it? Wow. Kane, I'd forgotten what that looked like. I know. I mean, I don't even know what to say. When I first saw their statement, I'm like, oh, my God, I still want to read this. And I opened it because someone had just like reposted something from McDonald's. So the first time I saw it, there was no context with it. And then a later tweet that I saw, they had context with it. But I opened the first one and I made the image bigger from X. And I was not expecting that, honestly. I wasn't expecting them to just jump on their franchisee, but I was expecting them to go, oh, we had nothing to do with that, blah, 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 blah. They didn't say any of that. I mean... And they said they also said they invited Harrison Walz. Y'all know that they are not going to go and do this. You know this. You know they're not going to go to McDonald's and do a fry experiment. Kane, is she going to show up?
After you see that crowd that lined up outside of that McDonald's, blocks and blocks around the place, there's no way that they'd be able to turn out that many bodies. So,
that's yeah. I like how Trump was like, hey, let's give them extra salt. Someone was over the moon because he ordered a 6-piece nug. And he got 7 nugs, 7 of them little tendies. He got 7 out of a 6-piece. And so he's like, Trump gave me 7-piece nug and I ordered 6. He's like, yes, you know, it was hysterical. But it's so funny. I mean, people talked about this all day yesterday. My kids were sending me this stuff. It's funny. And he's like got the apron on. He's waving, you know, he's like doing the fries. And can you imagine like the dude who's teaching him to do this? Like, imagine you're that dude and you're teaching the former president, maybe next president of the United States, salt fries. Audio soundbite 15, check it.
You gotta hit that timer, bring that one up. I'm gonna take care of these.
Okay.
Yeah, Nick.
Right there.
Got it. Yeah.
You put that right far right, hang it right up there.
Yeah.
And then you want to do the salt over here?
Yeah.
I did these ones already, they're good. You just gotta do that one right there. So grab that.
Can you give them extra salt?
No. Yep. Oh, yep, good.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, put that salt on there, Trump. Put it on there.
Right here.
Right.
Put it in there and just give them a swirl that way.
Get that salt.
Okay, where's that little thing?
I love it. That's hysterical. By the way, that dude is like so chill, teaching the former president. I love it because there's no shame in work. There's no shame in honest work. None. And I, you know, he's just, it was just funny. I mean, it looks like, there was a picture of him that I retweeted because I said it looks like a Renaissance painting. It really does. Where he's leaning out of the drive-thru window, waving. It looks like something Norman Rockwell would have put up. Like he would have painted. Norman Rockwell would have painted it. And I'm not saying that because you guys know I don't fawn over political candidates. But it was just such a collision of perfect variables that I don't know how else to put it. He's kind of like the Jeremy Clarkson of politics, isn't he?
Yeah, actually.
Very much. They're very similar in that way. And this dude's like teaching him how to do this. And the president, and he was like very, you know, interested in watching. And I love the people who came up because obviously, you know, I would say that they're probably first generation Americans. And they come up and they're like, oh, you know, Mr. President. And and the president of the United States is leading out. He's just talking to him. Former president talking to him through the drive-thru. I mean, I can't think of anything else that is like so America than that, right? It's so ridiculous. I mean, it's so American. This is Juan's showing you on the simulcast what the picture I'm talking about. I mean, it looks like it. Can I just be real? It looks like it's fake, but it's not. Like, who got that photo? Was that, I don't know if it was an AP photo or was it like somebody there getting food? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know who got it.
Trump.
Did he tweet it out? It's just so good. So I don't know. I mean, I think it looks like a Renaissance painting. It looks like he's like a Norman Rockwell and Renaissance. They get together and they make this. It's good. I want to talk more about this because you could break this down for a poli sci class, this whole thing. So the other thing, oh gosh. So Kamala Harris had a rally. And she was in, what is this, Wisconsin, and someone shouted Jesus is Lord, and it didn't go over very well because she decided to audio soundbite 3. This is her response to that. Listen. It's rough.
That they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Girl, you're going to get smote. Smote? Smited? Smote. It's like, you know, moose. Me, smice. You know, like Bigfoot. Bigfoot's big feet. How does that work? She's flirting with like some lightning. I'm just saying. She's like flirting with some brimstone. I think her rally, was actually the smaller one, I believe. Yeah, it is that. Wow, what a contrast. She is not personable and she's really bad at retail politics, which she actually doesn't even really do. She didn't really even like get involved in retail politics. We got to talk about so much because we've got to talk about what the candidates did over the weekend, right? The 60 Minutes controversy, 60 Minutes comes out and they're like, oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So what? We did edit it. And we've got to discuss that. I got some polling for you, particularly North Carolina and Pennsylvania. All eyes are on Pennsylvania right now. And I got some very important numbers and statistics to get into. And then, of course, we've got culture. Make America Detroit. Nobody wants to do that. So we got a lot to hit. So it's going to be a very busy Monday. Again, we're 2 weeks out from the election, so we're going to get you completely set as we move. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing. amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, this, go through all my, it's great. We're having stream issues, but we're on it. We know, we're aware. All right, Hurricane Oscar, really, now Oscar. Hurricane Oscar has made landfall in the Bahamas as a hurricane. So he was a hurricane, and now he's weakened to a tropical storm. Are we sure that it's a he? I mean, we're just, you know, are we assuming it's gender? It's southeastern Bahamas, heading towards Cuba. Strong rain, heavy rain, strong winds impacting Cuba along the Guantanamo and El Holguin provinces. And so that is, I'm done with the hurricanes. I think we're all done collectively, right? We can all say that. But millions of Cubans have been left without power, and not actually just because of the communism that they deal with on a day-to-day basis, also because of the hurricane. Let's see. This is a crazy story, and we do not deserve dogs. An elderly woman was kept alive from a dog sleeping on her chest after she got lost during a hike in Maine. She's an elderly woman, 72 years old. Pamela Helmstatter was rescued last Thursday. She spent four nights in the woods in Washington County, Maine. Her black lab, Lucy, was by her side as game wardens located her. And they said when they located her, the dog was very protective, even laid down on top of her chest. And they said that's like what the dog would do at night as well to help keep her warm. And so they said that she and her husband, they let their two dogs walk in the trails, and then they ended up getting lost. John fell, couldn't get up. They didn't have their cell phone. She tried to go get help on foot, but became disoriented, couldn't find her way back. And so that they made the decision for him to stay put for her to go out and help because she was more physically capable. And they said she did actually well to survive that long, but John did not. It's so sad her husband passed away. That dog, though, saved that woman. Like, we do not deserve dogs. That's such a sweet, I mean, it's a sad story, but sweet that the dog helped her. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our friends over at, it's a new partner for the show. It's Burn-A-Gun. And Burn-A-Gun is a non-firearm firearm. With Burn-A-Gun, it's illegal in all 50 states, so it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. No background check required, no permit. It can be shipped right to your door. And it's an effective deterrent. What it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles from up to 50 feet away, providing a deterrent. You don't want to have to be made into a statistic by gun-free zone signs or gun-free zones, period. And so where you can't take your firearm, Byrna's, their most popular model is the Byrna SD. This is a good alternative. It's always good to have diverse options. Now, I always tell people to carry. I have zero problem using lethal force to protect myself or others. In the instances where I can't, this is a good option for you to consider. I have friends who live and work in areas where they can't carry, but they also don't want to be made into statistics, so they got themselves the Byrna SD. Now, there's different models. There are different projectiles. There's all kinds of, you know, colors, accessories, etc. And when you compare the Byrna gun, by the way, and this is important too, if you have a stun gun, you got like maybe one or two shots off this, five rounds with the Byrna SD. To learn more about Byrna, visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a million, 110,000 audio sound bites right now, and it's pretty amazing. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, because we're in this, we're almost in the home stretch. We are almost in the home stretch. And so, 2 weeks out, and this is pretty amazing. 2 weeks out, and I got some polling. Let me pull this up for you, because I wanted to. I want to make it sure that people understand. I was looking at Nate Silver's things specifically this morning, by the way, on this, that, and some of the, let's see here, there was some Real Clear Politics, AP, things like that. So give me, I got too many things open. There's too many things happening. So the Nate Silver over at 538, because he's got a new thing up, after he sold, you know, his original thing to New York Times, he has a list of 24 reasons that Trump could win if there's a Trump second term. He said there's going to be a lot of explanations. And he gets into how Harris is the favorite to win the popular vote, but the Electoral College, I mean, there's a reason why we have Electoral College. And I feel like the people who don't like the Electoral College, and it's not that I feel this way, it's because it's reality, and I'm an observer of reality. They don't understand how it works. They do not understand how the Electoral College works. So he was saying, and I actually kind of disagree with him on this. He says the Electoral College bias favors Republicans. There isn't a bias. It's just plus two for Trump with the Electoral College. And that's just by the nature of the way that, you know, the people are living and the way everything is laid out. And it's hard for Democrats to overcome that. The inflation is not helpful. He lists inflation as a reason. He also says that voter perceptions about the economy, which, again, he approaches this from a lefty perspective. It's not voter perception about the economy that lags behind objective data. It's that objective data shows that the economy is an absolute turd. That's what it shows. Let's like not mince words, okay? And it's literally because you have an administration that has made a lot of really bad choices about this. He says that populism is part of it, although Kamala Harris just isn't good at populism. And I stress this again. Populism is a tactic. It is not a set of principles. It is a tactic. You can be populist and be on the left. You can be populist and be on the right. It is a tactic. It is a way of messaging. It is a way of packaging a narrative. Populism is not like conservatism or republicanism or Democrat or progressive. It is a tactic that everybody can use. So please, let's all recognize that. And the reason I say that is because Kamala Harris can't do it. And it's not just that it's not just that populism is working against her. And this is where I think Silver kind of hits it wrong. She's just a bad candidate. She's not a very good candidate. It has nothing to do with populism. I mean, Kamala Harris just sucks. She's just a bad candidate. She's not relatable because she can't relate. So the illegal immigration is another thing that's hurting her. She ran very, very far to the left in 2019 going into the 2020 primary. And now she does not have any kind of strategy at all whatsoever to explain why it is that she's changed her position on like a million different things. And I love this sentence. He lists this as number 9. Voters have nostalgia for the relatively strong economic performance in the first 3 years of Trump's term. Well, it's not nostalgia. It's people want their money, right? Like that's not nostalgia. That's, you know, we want our money and the government needs to stop spending it. Why is that spun as nostalgia, as though the times changed and made it necessary for us to have inflation? That's not how this worked. It was bad economic policy that made it the way that it is right now, and it made it unlivable for a lot of people. And I think when Democrats continue to message in those terms, that it hurts them all the more, because it shows that you're out of touch with everybody. You're out of touch with people. If you're trying to present them wanting to go back to the days when things were more affordable and they had more of their money as nostalgia, you're in a way, whether it's intentional or not, you're inadvertently painting them as being, you know, out of time, as being out of trend, as being, you know, fossils. You're portraying them as being out of touch fossils that just need to get with the times. That's kind of that's what this message is when you put it in those terms. And that just ticks people off because it's completely avoidable and unnecessary. When they say, he adds that the cultural vibes are shifting to the right and that the left is continuing to pay for the excesses of everything. I do think that this is true. I think the pendulum will swing the other way at a certain point, but how fast and how far remains to be seen. But I do think it's not so much that things are shifting to the right. And again, this is from his leftist perspective. I don't think that cultural vibes or whatever the hell you want to call it are shifting to the right. I think people are just like, this is enough. Because I know people who are still leftists. And if they had like an old timey Kennedy sort of Democrat, they would vote for an actual Democrat and not a Marxist. So it's not that people are shifting to the right. It's that the left has gone so far left. They don't even know what the center looks like anymore. They can't even see the center from where their perspective is. And so to say that it's everything is shifting to the right, things are resetting is what it is, because people are fed up. They're tired of it. When they also add, he has in here as well in his list, Nate Silver's looking at it, that the dominance, Democrats' dominance amongst other minority groups is starting to shift. And this is true. This is also, again, you know, there are no other like better alternatives for the left. There really aren't. Men, they said, feel lost amidst declining college enrollment, contributing to a rightward shift and a growing gender gap. This is something that I have seen and we've talked about and I've written about it for years in this space, that this is what feminism does. This is like the Title IX, the overcorrection. And it was feminism's revenge, and feminism is going to have the ultimate revenge on itself, because to not have healthy men and healthy women, to have one succeed at the expense of the other is detrimental for both. And it's really a shame that women never learned that. They didn't learn that, you know, coming in, getting your right to vote, Susan B. Anthony, suffrage, all that stuff. And then they just went like so far over their skis that now they overcorrected. And now this is the situation that we're in. There are more women than men that are going to get higher education, more women than men that are running for going for CEO positions, etc. And as a result, you have a disaffected group of men and you have an unfulfilled group of women. And that's the nature of it. So that's, I mean, it was an overcorrection based on malice, I think. So he lists Biden as well. He also said Harris got a late start to her race. She inherited her staff from Biden's poorly run campaign. She not only inherited her staff, she inherited the entirety of her policies from him. They said that Silver adds that Harris is seeking to become the first woman president, and that in the only previous attempt, undecideds broke heavily against Hillary Clinton and she underperformed her polls. Here's the problem. And this is like a whole separate segment we could do on this fixation with running a woman. Why can't you just run a good candidate? And if it happens that good candidate at that time is a woman, then have that discussion. Margaret Thatcher was a great candidate for her time. And had she been under-accomplished, underachieved, it would have been to UK's detriment. And the idea that you have to have a woman because it's time is such a disservice to voters, because you're putting... that you're making an idol of the office. Actually, you're making an idol of sex, and you're using the office as an experimental playground to act that out at the expense of voters. And that just, I feel like if you're really someone who is like all about women and all of that, you would want a truly accomplished female candidate. You wouldn't just want to put up the first broad, you know, that you're able to get past the finish. I mean, it's just stupid. It's just this, I don't understand the fixation. It's stupid and it's shallow. And then the more that certain women push it, the more I don't ever want those women running for office. So I don't know. Trust in media, he cites, looking at Nate Silver's list of 24 things as to why he thinks that Trump could prevail. And he lists the trust in media continues to fall, all of this stuff. I mean, he actually cites, he kind of touches around misogyny. Audio soundbite 5, Kamala Harris was on Al Sharpton's show. And... well, listen to this. They're talking about misogyny and how that's coming into play in terms of her support.
Do you think some of the resistance of some men, black and white, is misogynist? And are you proud to see that most Americans, even being polled, have no problem supporting a woman at all? And I'm one that lived from Shirley to Kamala in terms of these campaigns.
And I have an emotional reaction to you raising the point of Shirley Chisholm, because it is on her broad shoulders that I stand, and so many of us stand. And we have come a long way, to your point, and on your specific point about including the fact that I have the support of countless black men who are in elected positions, including on just this afternoon and two church visits today with the mayor of Atlanta. That being said, I think that you are absolutely right, that there is this narrative about what kind of support we are receiving from black men that is just not panning out.
I mean, the reason is because you're unaccomplished, and to pretend that it's anything other than that, you're just insulting the voting bloc that you're trying to attract, that you're trying to appeal to. She did this. Wasn't this the same night as that Al Smith dinner?
Yeah, it was right after.
I think that's interesting. Why didn't she go to that? Because she's awkward? because she doesn't like, because nobody likes her, not even the Democrats. Because Democrats and Republicans go there. I mean, for crying out loud, Letitia James could go there. Trump was there and Letitia James was there. It's weird, right? Why couldn't she go? She does this to her own detriment. I don't know who's running her campaign, but you want to have a discussion about a masterclass in failure? That's the masterclass in failure. It really is. But the list that Silver is giving, he gets into, he does actually cite Democrats' language about Trump being a critical threat, that doesn't, you know, that they stake too many chips on that line of attack. They get into foreign policy. It has become more unstable, the world under Biden's tenure. They can't, you know, the Israel-Hamas war, the Hamas's war on Israel, splitting Democrats. And he doesn't cite Kamala Harris's failure to like properly address this to the point where 60 Minutes had to edit her interview, which we're going to talk about. But the fact, I mean, can I just again go back to Pennsylvania was in play for them. They could have wrapped it up in a big bow had they picked Josh Shapiro as her running mate. Now, I will say maybe Josh Shapiro did not want to jump on the landmine that is a Kamala Harris ticket. That is very probable. And I think it's fair to include that as a possibility. Maybe he said, no, thank you. I'm not going to, because what if she wins and that tanks me and I don't feel like doing that? Because let's be honest about it. He would be doing the heavy lifting in that ticket. But from my understanding, they didn't even court him. They didn't even court him. And things shift so monumentally so fast. In 4 years, maybe there wouldn't be an appetite for Josh Shapiro. And maybe, just maybe, Kamala Harris didn't want to be made to look like a fool by having someone who is way more articulate and more knowledgeable than she was about issues, even if he's wrong, on the ticket. But I do think it's interesting that they made a very blatant attempt to kind of ignore that. And they made it clear that they don't need Pennsylvania. They began redirecting their efforts towards Georgia, thinking that that's more winnable. And then they realize after looking at the map, well, I guess we do need Pennsylvania. Oh, boy. But it's a little bit too little too late. We're going to talk about that more. But also, you know, Trump's he was almost assassinated. That runs against Harris. But Harris has never been able to articulate an actual pathway forward or articulate how she's different from Biden. And that's all hurting her as well. I think there are even more things that he doesn't list that are hurting her. Really, we have a lot more to get into as we are rolling towards the conclusion of this first hour. And we've got to deep dive in Pennsylvania and more coming up as we move ahead of Days of These United States. Our partners at Tax Network USA, they want to help you with the Government Theft Agency. Oh, I mean the IRS. Whoops, verbal typo. Guess it stays. But Tax Network USA, they understand the October 15 deadline is passed. Are you prepared for any consequences that may come your way if you owe taxes, or have unfiled extortion, tax returns? The IRS may intensify enforcement efforts. May is doing a lot of heavy lifting here. They got 88,000 new agents. It's not a question of if, it's when, y'all. Tax Network USA has helped taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt. They filed over 10,000 tax returns. They specialize and helping people like you reduce their tax burdens. You can schedule a complimentary consultation and call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. They have an expert team of skilled professionals. They have versatile solutions. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, if it's for personal or business, doesn't matter. They have the tools and the experience to handle literally any situation. And they can also provide flexible assistance whether or not you're able to pay or on a fixed income. Tax Network USA provides tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. So don't wait any longer. Visit tnusa.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000 for a free consultation. Their experts will walk you through a few simple questions to see how much you can save. Act now before the IRS takes more aggressive steps. Take control today. tnusa.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I'm so proud to be from this city. You know, they say if Kamala wins, then the whole country will be like Detroit. Okay? Proud like Detroit. Detroit. Resilient like Detroit.
Broke like Detroit. Crime plague like Detroit. No infrastructure like Detroit. Rapes like Detroit. Murders like Detroit. Stabbings like Detroit. Robbings like Detroit. Carjackings like Detroit. Drugs like Detroit. Damn. Like Detroit. I love the pandering. That was, have you tried Lizzo? See, that was. I think that that, I don't think that helps. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think, like, resilient how? Like, everybody left. Everybody's left Detroit. I it's sad. I mean, it was a shining city on a hill for a while. Base of America's manufacturing. You know, a lot of stuff came from Detroit. And now look at it. Democrats ruined another great city. And they did. That's true. That's true. Speaking of the left, have you guys seen the media reaction to Trump at McDonald's?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, did you know that he doesn't actually work there?
What?
He doesn't work at McDonald's.
No.
So apparently the left thinks, I'm not making this up, that he works at McDonald's and that he's lying to you and that, you know, guys, that was staged. He doesn't work there. That's right, because he works at Arby's. Let's be real. I'm not kidding. Newsweek, rumors have been circulating on social media that former President Trump's visit to the popular fast food chain was staged or organized. Why did you use the word staged? It was more honest than anything Kamala Harris has ever done. What are you talking about? It was staged. No, he works there. I can't believe these people. Golly. Arby's. By the way, do we got Arby's around here, Kane?
Yeah, no. There's some Arby's. Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah.
I have not had a curly fry.
Oh, the curly fries are legit.
Forever. What do they fry them in?
I don't know. Probably seed oils.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Seed oils are bad? Like almond oil's bad?
Yeah.
Almond oil's bad.
Depends on how they extract it.
Okay, well, I don't know what happened here, but we're going to have this conversation on break. We got a lot more on the way. We got to talk about the media's reaction. We got to talk about Hamas, Israel, Lebanon, more. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee. See, I don't need a robot making my coffee. I don't need a robot doing any of that stuff. I just need good coffee. Clearly, I've had a lot today. I've had maybe one more cup than I normally do. I had the Silencer Smooth today. By the way, that I believe is part of the. It is. It's part of the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. So if you love coffee, you can get their sampler kit. It's a lineup of their classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. So you get 4-ounce bags of, like, all my favorites, AK-47 Espresso, the Beyond Black, the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth, which I had a lot of today. Every flavor is amazing. It comes in this cool blue box. It's a great gift for people who like coffee. Now, it's available exclusively in ground texture. You can get all of these blends in a whole bean K-cup, ready to drink, like pretty much like whichever medium you would like. And you can join the coffee club. You choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it shows up to your front porch with free shipping. So you're saving money, you're saving time, and you're never going to run out of coffee. It is a veteran-owned coffee company. They employ veterans in active duty. And they're all about giving props to American culture and our military as well. You need to experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order yourself the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off. Code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon here with you. Happy Monday. We're at the top of our second hour here. And I'm kind of chuckling because of the media's reaction to the whole Trump at McDonald's over the weekend. And they're saying that it's very important that you all know, guys and gals, it's very important. He doesn't actually work there. That was a staged event. I don't know if you know that. He does not work at that McDonald's. If you go to that McDonald's in Pennsylvania today, he's not going to be there. He doesn't work there. I can't believe that that's so stupid. I mean, I said on X, I'm shook. I'm shook right now. I thought he worked there. I thought he was also a business owner and that he decided to go to Pennsylvania and work there. You know, at McDonald's, they're just mad because Kamala Harris didn't think of it first, or that she just lied about working at McDonald's. That's the whole thing. The whole reason that this even happened is because she lied about working. She was trying so hard to, like, seem like one of the people, but he actually went and did the work. That's kind of the pattern in her life, is it not? I'm amazed at this. How do you write a headline like that? And there was a Newsweek. How does someone write a headline like this and then...
They all did.
I mean, I'm looking at every single one of them. Oh my gosh. So I'm going to have to post memes, I think, as like the headline photo for headlines for subscribers when that goes out tomorrow morning. And I'm just going to put all the memes in there. This is like so stupid. I can't even believe this is a thing. Like, they're so upset about it. They're so mad. I'm looking at it. Like, this is the Live, Laugh, Love campaign, right? Live, Laugh, Love campaign. And she was not living, laughing, or loving at all last week. We played the audio of her saying, "You're at the wrong rally," to someone who was saying that Jesus is Lord. She didn't have like a great response to that. I'm not quite sure why at this point. The more media she does, I know she's desperate and she needs it, but it's just bad for her. Look at this. She puts this ad. This is audio somebody 11. She puts this ad. She did a Harris Walls ad for Meta, telling men that if they don't vote for her, they're not going to get dates. Listen to this. She thinks this is going to work. This is how Democrats think that men are. Listen.
It's a really nice place. Have you been here before?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite spots. I bring everybody here.
I said not go on a lot of dates, but...
Hello, ladies. I'm Trey. It's good to be here.
What do you do and how much do you make?
I work in finance, making six figures.
How tall are you?
6'5".
Do you have a plan to vote in November?
Nah, not my thing.
Like, that's... If you're not voting for us to just, like, live off the state... Yeah, you're not dateable. If you don't vote to make Uncle Sam our sugar daddy, then you're not dateable. Yeah, this ad is, I think it just made us all dumber watching it. I'm sorry. That's a dumb ad. What is that? How does that appeal to, do you think a guy is going to watch this and be like, man, I'm not going to get laid if I don't go out and vote for Kamala in November? Who thinks that? If a man thinks that, ladies, do not procreate with that man, because you're going to have some dumb kids. You're going to have some stupid kids. Do not get with that man. Run away. That is a red flag. Run away. And who wears the sticker that says I didn't vote? That's not a sticker. Like, that's like you would have to go to the polling place and then leave. And then they'd be like, well, here's your nobody does that. This is so stupid. Who came up with this ad? The same lame ass people that are telling her to go talk to Al Sharpton instead of the Al Smith thing? Curious. Yeah. Who? Who's doing this? She just, oh, man, it's just. It's bad. Audio soundbite 4. She was asked, Kamala Harris, she's had a banger of a weekend, man. She was asked about Joe Biden. And she was asked specifically, what would you do different? She can't even ask that, but she's got a new reason why she can't ask it. Listen.
President Biden said this week that every president has to cut their own path. What is one policy that you would have done differently over these last 3.5 years than President Biden?
I mean, to be very candid with you, even including Mike Pence, vice presidents are not critical of their presidents. I think that really actually, in terms of the tradition of it and also just going forward, it does not make for a productive and important relationship.
That doesn't make sense. So you're telling everybody that, from what I can understand, it's going to be more of the same. By the way, Pence did criticize Trump. I think the only people that I can remember who didn't actually criticize were maybe Cheney Bush. That was about it. But everybody, I mean, they did criticize. Not quite sure where she gets that from, but that's not true. She just doesn't want to have to answer as to what she would do differently. Why is she so nervous about that? I think she can't say because she's adopted all of his same plans. It's just going to be Joe Biden. It's going to be more of the exact same. That's all it is. So she can't say she would do differently because she literally doesn't have any intention of doing differently. For crying out loud, she copied and pasted the guy's entire platform from his website and literally put it on hers per source code. So it's all very visible. It's not like you can hide that stuff. The statement that she came out when she was running for office literally had errors in it where it was still referring to Biden and then his second presidency. So she can't say that she would do anything differently because she has no plans to do anything differently. They're all his plans. She's just more. It's not even change or forward with more. That's the only thing that you can attribute. That's the only slogan she can have. I mean, it's wild to look at this. She's going to have trouble in Pennsylvania. Although I will say, I don't think that Josh Shapiro was helping her. Audio Sunbite 13. So this was the guy who could have been her VP pick that probably would have helped her in securing Pennsylvania. And she decided to go with Tim Fudd up in Minnesota. Audio Sunbite 13. So this is the governor, Josh Shapiro. He can't actually explain what the differences between Harris and Biden are.
Polls do show that more Americans feel as though President Biden's policies have hurt them rather than helped them. So can you name one key policy difference between Vice President Harris and President Biden? How would her administration look different?
You know, I've been really encouraged by the amount of energy that Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, has put into focusing on how she will cut taxes for small businesses. The focus on child care tax credit expansion, that's something I've done here in Pennsylvania. We've seen that work to ease the burden on families. I think a focus on those kinds of things is particularly important. And those are the kinds of things I think Kamala Harris has brought specifically to this race.
Those aren't necessarily differences, though. They're an expansion or a tweak to some extent to what's been done. Can you name one policy difference?
Well, listen, again, the contrast I am focused on, Kristen, is between her and Donald Trump.
Ooh, interesting. I mean, yeah, so he can't say. He can't explain it. Okay, all right, you know, there he is. He can't explain it. Okay. Now, in the meantime, Pennsylvania is in play. This was interesting. So Cook political ratings changed today. And Pennsylvania Senate had been previously classified as lean Democrat. Now it was moved. The rating changed from toss up. Now, the Nebraska Senate was likely R. Now that is lean R. The projections for the Senate as of right now are Republican leaning. It's moved. The Pennsylvania map is definitely it's a Republican map. Right now, Republicans are poised to take over the Senate. Now, a lot of things can change. I think strength at the top of the ticket is also something that is absolutely significant. I was having a conversation. We were in Richmond, and I made this point to everybody in our WRVA area, and I was talking to my friend Brian Kilmeade, who I've known for years about this, because we were like, well, who do you think is leading? Who do you think is, you know, whatever? How well do you think Trump is doing? This is what I will tell you about polling, especially right now, because things can fluctuate and change so dramatically. And because of the way a lot of these polls are done, it's not entirely reliable, especially if it's just landline or sometimes if it's even just digital, and if it's likely voters versus registered voters. So you do have to be careful what you consider. And remember, these are just kind of guideposts. They're not, you know, actual rock solid forecasts. The best way to check the health of the ticket, of the top of the ticket, right, of Trump and Vance and Harrison Walz, is let's look down ticket, state by state, at some of these races. Pennsylvania, for that to go from lean Democrat to toss up, a battleground state, that is significant. That's between Bob Casey, who is the Democrat, and Dave McCormick, who is the Republican. And it's been moved to toss up by Cook Political, which is fairly accurate. That's very telling. Very telling. You have to look at some of these races, the Senate races and the congressional races. You have to look and see the ones that have been moved, that have been reclassified either as lean Dem or likely Dem, if they were likely Dem to lean Dem or lean Dem to toss up, or maybe lean R to likely R or toss up to lean R. You have to look at these races to sort of gauge, to better gauge how the candidate is being perceived in that particular state. Now, this is not foolproof. And the reason I say it's not foolproof is because there's a lot of split ticket voting that can be attributed to some of the, I think, especially in Texas, which is where I live, to some of the weird results in 2020. And so in some instances, this is where it's, you know, the states that don't have split ticket, you don't have to worry about it. But the states that do, it's not necessarily a guarantee. Like in Texas, what I mean by split ticket voting is that you can't just vote straight Republican or straight Democrat. You actually have to make your choices on the ballot. And in 2020, there were a lot of individuals, a lot of voters who left the top of the ticket, the top of the ballot blank, but then they would vote in Republicans below, which was how you ended up having somebody like Senator John Cornyn get more votes than Trump in that election. And it's you, and a lot of people were questioning, and I'm talking about Texas specifically, and this is not a discussion of like widespread fraud, but I'm explaining to you how it works and how it can be perceived sometimes. And some of the instances, and you can go to the Secretary of State's website and you can look at all of the votes. I mean, they have all of the raw data available for you to go through up on the websites, every Secretary of State. And in looking through it, it's not that there were fewer Republican voters out. It was that more people did something weird at the top. But yet, my question was always, well, if somebody was going to cheat, then they would cheat all the way down the ticket. They're not going to cheat just with that one. You know, they're going to cheat all the way the hell down the ticket. So they were legitimate votes, but there was a disconnect. There was something off. Why was it that that happened in 2020, and how can it be avoided in the future? And my fear has always been in those states and those counties where that can play out again, because I feel like that has never been rectified or even any attention given to it by the RNC, and it's a major issue. Now, maybe because you have a new candidate on the ballot and things are a lot more dire than they were in 2020, maybe that changes and maybe we won't see a replay of it. And that's the thing, because all the other variables can change, past performances aren't necessarily a guarantee of future performances or even indicative of future performances. So all of that has to be taken into consideration. But in Pennsylvania, this is very interesting because this is one of those toss-ups for the Senate that has been moved. Ohio is very, very difficult for Democrats this go around. Polling for Republican challenger Bernie Moreno, he's opened up a small lead, but it's still a lead. There's still some momentum there. When you're opening up a lead this close to elections, 2 weeks out, you only have upwards to go. So that's very interesting. Sherrod Brown, who I can't stand, he's a jackwagon. He's got a small margin. And Wisconsin was moved into toss up. That looks like a huge, and Cook also agrees that that's a huge move for Republicans. They could flip that. Michigan is super, super tight, but there's momentum building for Republicans. A lot of momentum building for Republicans in Pennsylvania, which was why that move to go to McDonald's was very smart, because that plays out well. Retail politics are always better than any bitching on social media. I want to print that on a t-shirt. Retail politics, going and meeting people and shaking their hands and having that connection, that will work a million times more than someone bitching on X or on Facebook. A lot of people think that they're doing so much on digital media, and I'm not trying to downplay people's activism digitally, but nothing works like this. Retail politics is still supreme. And it seems that of the two candidates, only one gets that. As we move our partners to help bring you free radio, it's our good friends over at Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service that exists out there. And they want to save you money. They want to save you money because they understand how ridiculous this economy is right now. But also, they don't need to charge you, you know, hand over fist in order to put more money into the pocket of DEI advocacy or gun control or something like that. Because that's honestly what a lot of these companies are donating your hard-earned dollars to. Patriot Mobile offers reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area, and you're not funding the left. When you switch, you can get a plan that is tailored specifically to what you need. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service team. You're supporting and helping to maintain U.S.-based jobs. But you're also going to save money on connecting with your friends and your family and work and scrolling. Hopefully not doom scrolling, but just, you know, looking at living life online as well. You can visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by the fakers out there, people who pretend to share your values or even have the same coverage because they don't. Switch to patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get your free month of service today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't like seafood that carries weapons. So this dude, he's 36 years old. He's a surfer. He was fatally impaled by a swordfish during a freak accident. Giulio Manfrini, an Italian thrill seeker, was killed while surfing at a popular surf break off the west coast of Sumatra in Indonesia. It was at Masakut Island, and the swordfish leapt out of the water, literally like impaled her. Oh my gosh, this is insane. It was from the Standard. They said that, oh my gosh, it was like almost a 2-inch stab wound on the left side of the chest. And they transported her to a health clinic and she didn't make it. I didn't even know like a swordfish could like that. Well, how does that happen? That's insane. Anyway, that's telling you, they carry weapons in the ocean. Apparently, the average person consumes 80 pounds of sugar each year. And we wonder why you look at people, pictures of people now and then, and there's like way less like obesity, like in the 70s and 60s and all of that. Ooh, we got a lot more. I went a little long last segment. Apologies. Stick with us. Ready Wise is always ready, even if you are not. And I mean, just think about some of the stuff that everybody's had to go through just in the past few weeks with Hurricane Helene and Milton battering the states, devastating communities. The reality of disasters is something that we're always going to have to live with. And so you always want to make sure that you have a reliable stock of food that you can rely on in an emergency. Food like Ready Wise food. So you're prepared for anything, ensuring that your family is fed, stays nourished and safe during all of it. You can visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout and you'll get 20% off of your entire purchase. They have a buy one, get one $100 value for $50 72-hour food kit. 2 boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks, the whole nine yards. And you know where your food is coming from. U.S. ingredients from a state-of-the-art U.S. plant, so you know the chain of command. You get, you know, everything you need, all of your nutrition, all of your carbohydrates, all of your protein, all of your calories that you need to sustain you should something, heaven forbid, go sideways. 25-year shelf life. Also, visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout and get 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour on a Monday. And going over all of the stuff that we have been, just all the stuff we saw over the weekend, some of the latest, talking about the classification of Pennsylvania to the Senate race there to toss up. There's a lot of changes happening, a lot of stuff, a lot of things moving around. And, you know, I got to say, too, the media is not helping. The way they seriously need to get a handle on some of this stuff, because the way that they're covering it, it's just going to further fuel people. Already, you know, people were a little mad over at Legacy Press because of the way that they have misrepresented things, obviously, and everything is coming to a head. Like CNN says, McDonald's didn't give Trump permission to serve fries. It didn't need to. Well, yeah, it didn't need to. I mean, I feel like people need to understand franchises. Like, how do franchises work? I mean, you understand how people can support Marxism when they demonstrate that they don't know how franchises work, how businesses work. He didn't have to get permission for anything. I mean, this is just so dumb. They said that now they have all the, like, they're, someone's saying that there's an inspection report for the McDonald's restaurant. They're going after like all of this, that whatever that they can do to try to discredit any of this, they're going to try to do it. I like, what in the world? This is just, stop it. Just stop it. This is so dumb. An inspection report for the McDonald's restaurant. They were saying that employees were not properly washing their hands, etc. So now they're good. Are they going to go after this McDonald's because Trump stir fries? What jerks? Stop. Just leave it alone. I mean, who's the person that keeps writing these headlines over at Newsweek, by the way? Like, how? This is just so lame. Stop it. Just stop it. Who is this? Is it Kalita Rahman? Is this the journalist that's, it's just so stupid. Just quit. They're going to have some problems. However much you load the media, it's just never enough. I got to tell you. Then they said that, I mean, I don't know what is this. Give me 1 second, because I saw this story and I want to see if it's the same journalist who wrote the last two headlines over at Newsweek, because they're really having a hard time here with this stuff. This piece, who's this by? No, different one. This headline, it says Trump, now they're going after him. They're like, oh, Trump shared what is likely an AI generated image on his Truth Social account, showing him as a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's literally like a Pittsburgh Steelers player with his head on it. Why does that need a footnote? Why does that need any kind of clarification? You don't need a clarification of that. They're just mad because he had a successful McDonald's event, and now they're flipping out. This is the photo. I'm going to drop this in Slack for Juan because I feel like people need to see it if you haven't yet. It's a photo where it's clearly fake. And now they're Newsweek said, well, Donald Trump has shared what is likely an AI-generated image showing him as a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are they trying to argue that someone could mistake this as a real thing, that he's actually a player for the Steelers? Because it, oh my gosh, I can't, guys. This is the, hold up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th graph. However, the image posted on Truth Social depicts Trump on a football field wearing a jersey for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There is no evidence this ever occurred. Trump's torso and arms also appear to have been altered to appear more muscular than they do in other photos. It is one of the dumbest things. I just sent the one to you. Sorry, Juan. This is the image that he had shared. That's one image. This is the other image that he had shared from that I sent to you in Slack. I mean, it's clearly not him. He's standing there. He's got the jersey. I mean, it's clearly not real.
He's a running back. Everyone knows that.
It's tongue-in-cheek. It's a joke. But they're like, nope. They think that they're so desperate. They think that there are some people out there that are stupid and that are going to think that this actually is Trump playing football. So wait a minute. You're telling me that he works at McDonald's and plays for the Steelers and then does business? What? Newsweek literally reached out to the Trump campaign and the Pittsburgh Steelers for comment. Juan's showing you, this is the photo that Juan's showing you on the simulcast. If you're watching the simulcast of the radio program, it's Trump and a Steeler. He's just standing on the football field. I mean, it's clearly not him. I mean, it's his face on somebody else's back. It's clearly not real. And they're mad because they said that it's not real. What? I mean, you can completely edit an entire response from Kamala Harris and air it on 60 Minutes, and that's okay. But, you know, this apparently is what? I mean, it's a joke. It was shared because it's funny, right? He did it because it's funny. I can't believe that they felt it necessary to actually put a clarification out on this. Which, by the way, speaking of which, the 60 Minutes thing. So she can't answer a question and then ends up, 60 Minutes, CBS, then ends up coming to her defense saying, yeah, well, okay, we did it. But like what? Who cares? We did it. That was their statement. That was their statement that they had. Like, yeah, they did. They edited it and get over it. Just thinking that that's not going to be helpful for them. I don't know. I'm the whole thing is amazing to me. They don't want to have any clarification for that. But heaven forbid, you know, you go to McDonald's and make people think you work there. Like what? So bad. I can't make this up. This is, guys, I mean, there's story after story of this. They're going after the Mickey D's now. Let's see, Newsweek, blah blah blah. What else did they? I don't understand why they felt. They said that Newsweek contacted McDonald's and the Trump campaign for comments outside of business hours, and then they said they'll update the article if a comment was received. So they didn't even wait. They went to attack the business's cleanliness, and they didn't even wait for the business to be open before they ran with their story. I mean, it's not like it was like a big, you know, breaking like Watergate level kind of story. What in the world? So they decided to run with it anyway. I mean, no, they had to get it out immediately. So stupid. It's just so, I mean, but yes, you know, you can edit something on 60 Minutes and that's completely fine. Edit her entire answer. This wasn't like a mistake that 60 Minutes made. This was like they lied. They actually tried to manufacture an answer for her and misrepresent what she had said. And I, you know what, the Brett Baer interview with her that aired last week, I was at an event for our affiliate event, and Brian and I were kind of, Kilmeade and I were kind of watching it, trying to listen to it on his phone. We were at a meet and greet. And I mean, they had heavily promoted this interview. They heavily edited the interview. This wasn't a live to tape. Like Baer's interview with Harris was live to tape. And obviously you could tell that it wasn't cut up as I told you it was going to be. It was live to tape. I told you that they were not going to edit it. This, the 60 Minutes thing was so ridiculously heavily edited. And we were playing some comparisons last week and they would not, I mean, for 2 weeks, they refused to release the transcript of the interview. And then they published a response and they said that former President Donald Trump is accusing 60 Minutes of deceitful editing of our October 7th interview with Kamala Harris. Vice President Kamala Harris, this is false. 60 Minutes gave an excerpt of our interview that used a longer section to face the nation that used a longer section of her answer than that on 60 Minutes. Same question, same answer, but a different portion of the response. What? So they got mad. They said, remember, this was actually how they put this in their statement. Quote, remember, Mr. Trump pulled out of his interview with 60 Minutes and the vice president participated. So they were mad that he pulled out of the interview. And the response was to edit her answers and then get mad at him because they edited her answers. I don't know what that means. Like the media, their job is not to rehabilitate a candidate. Their job is not to make the candidate manufacture a response on behalf of the candidate to make her look better or to even make them look worse. I mean, it goes either way. They're just supposed to show you the candidate and give you the answer to a question that they ask. That's because what they're talking about is advocacy. They act like they're doing the campaign's job and then trying to say that it's part of the media's job when it's not. News entities do not do this stuff. Campaigns do. There's a major difference. And so they said, quote, our longstanding invitation to former President Trump remains open. If he would like to discuss the issues facing the nation, you know, we'd have it. Why would he do it? Why would he go on knowing that, I mean, they could manipulate his answers just as much as they've manipulated hers. So you can't go back and do it. And remember, this is after the whole thing that they did to Speaker Johnson. Remember, they edited his interview also. Or they interviewed his, they edited and his response because he was criticizing what they had done with the Harris interview when they were discussing Speaker Johnson's response. They were misrepresenting him as well. And when he had an interview, he was asked, sanctity of the election, basically. And when he was asked about this, they manipulated and misrepresented his answer on 60 Minutes. So if you're Trump and you're seeing 60 Minutes edit Kamala Harris's interview to make her seem better and then edit Mike Johnson's interview to make him seem worse, what do you think they're going to do to you? I mean, it's just logic. This isn't journalism. This is activism. They're acting like a campaign. I don't know why anybody would agree to go. And I mean, and this is just like scandal after scandal after scandal where they edited her answer. I mean, it's just wild. And they didn't even need to, well, they did it because they know she's a disaster. And they did it to Johnson because they know he isn't. I mean, it is really, so if you're Trump, why would you, I wouldn't agree. Why would you want to go in 60 Minutes? I mean, they edited her interview. They edited, and then they try to sandbag Johnson. Unbelievable. I don't know. I also wouldn't go on. So I don't think he's wrong in doing that. And he doesn't need to. She's the one who needs the press. She's the one who needs the attention. Kel-Tec, the P15, stands for 15 pews approximately. It's a great American company, Florida-based company. Great success story as well. But Kel-Tec, the P15 doesn't matter if you're new. It doesn't matter if you're new to shooting like Tim Walz or if you're a seasoned old pro. It's lightweight and powerful. You don't have to compromise stopping power for concealability. And that's what the P-15 delivers. It has two versions. You have a metal frame version and the polymer version. It's a striker fire pistol. Metal frame comes with these gorgeous walnut panels on it. The polymer version's got the gator grip texture. It's just a really nice looking gun. Classic look, classic feel. And it ships with two standard capacity magazines. One is a 15 round with a minimal pinky extension. The other is a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12. Both are double stack magazines. I know. It's still the thinnest 9mm you will have. It's the lightest, thinnest 9mm I have, and it's double stack mag. 12 round one with the flush fit that gives you even more ultra concealability. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear. Lifetime warranty as well. Compact. And it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It's the P-15. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So, new news about the Lieutenant Dan, the dude who rode out the Hurricane Milton on his boat in Florida. He was apparently, and this is new, he was apparently arrested in Tampa. Oh my goodness. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. The guy known as Lieutenant Dan, a.k.a. Joseph Malinowski, was arrested after his TikTok post because he, for trespassing, failure to appear on previous charges of having an unregistered vehicle and no valid driver's license. They said he rejected police from officials when he was staying in his boat. So he apparently does not have an attorney who can speak on his behalf. So he is in the pokey. Well, oh boy. You know, if this can't all be hits, right? Let's see this. I want to grab this one. Please. This is a Florida man. Hold up. Was in Daytona Beach, Melvin Weaver, 64, Florida man who faces charges of aggravated battery and arson. The article says that he was arrested last week after police say he burned down his house screaming about vampires. I'm right. Yeah, apparently it started when his wife wanted to have him committed. They wanted to Baker Act him. And when police arrived at 2, they said police determined he could not be involuntarily committed under the Baker Act. But by 7, he grew angry, began hitting his wife, breaking open windows with his cane. And he said, "The vampires are going to defend themselves," he shouted, according to the arrest report. Then he set fire to the home by throwing ceiling insulation onto the stove. The wife escaped. He grabbed a kitchen knife, began knocking on neighbors' doors, saying that his house was on fire and his wife was inside. He was arrested at the scene. He's sick and he takes pain medication, but the house is completely destroyed in the fire. Nothing, no word on the vampires, though. I would imagine, wouldn't they perish in the fire? I mean, is that sun? Is it 2 p.m., 1 p.m., so maybe the dwelling burned down and then they were exposed to the sun and then they vanished? I don't know. Like, why does, I mean, clearly he's like mental. I don't know. This Florida woman used her child to help steal a barista machine and a vacuum cleaner from Target. It ended up coming to $1,111. And she was able to convince 23-year-old Elizabeth Novak. She was able to convince a child under the age of 10 to carry it out of the store. Got a little kid to do her grand theft. You're kidding me. So, yeah, she is totally in jail. And not only does she get charged with grand theft, but one count of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That's not shocking. Goodness. A $5,000 hit gone wrong. Can I just say, I don't believe in, like, taking out contracts on people, but $5,000 does seem low. A Florida man hired an undercover agent as a hitman for $5,000. And apparently it did not go that way. 58-year-old Makram Cashman of Boynton Beach admitted to meeting with an undercover agent. He wanted $5,000 to kill the victim. That's what he offered. And the plot was foiled. The victim wasn't harmed. And this Cashman dude was arrested. Now faces up to a decade in prison. He'll be sentenced in January. So, good heavens. That's not the way to do it. Really not the... No. There's other ways to resolve disputes. We have more on the way as we whittle down the second hour. Third hour coming up. And we got to talk about the souls to the polls. Harris is trying to now find Jesus. Of course she is. Stick with us. Welcome to the program. Woo! Third hour. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this third hour. Don't forget, you can find us on Rumble X, Substack, Chapter and Verse. The discussion happens over at Rumble. and also Channel 347 Direct TV. All right, so we've been talking a lot about the election and the media, and I got two things to hit this segment. We got to talk about the souls to the polls, but from Kamala, because they're trying to get all Jesus, trying to get some Jesus into it. And then we got to talk about that chonk with her $32,000 Birkin in the Hamas tunnels, because I cannot make fun of this enough. So number one, the souls to the polls, y'all. I don't know why I said it like Paula Deen. She has the thing. It's called Putting Faith into Action. It's Kamala Harris. They have the power to make a difference, and they need to put their faith in action and blah, blah, blah. And they're trying to get, I think she's at the wrong rally. They're trying to get the poll. They're trying to get souls to the polls is what they're saying. And act like it's, you know, they're having this is their big Christian outreach. They want Christians to get there. They hired her faith engagement director. Now I'm going to make some of you mad, and I just have my opinions on certain things, and you all have your opinions on certain things. So let's just agree to disagree on certain issues. There's probably like only two of you out there who are with us, but the woman, she is a Presbyterian minister, Reverend Jennifer Butler. What? So I have a problem. I don't like women as ministers, and I don't believe that women should be in positions to lead the church, because I think it's anti-biblical. And I think that if someone is so motivated that they are obsessed with having that kind of control over the church, then their focus is on themselves and not on God. End of. If you have a problem with my perspective on it, take it up with the Lord, because that's who I'm citing. I'm citing the Lord. Now, this is not to say that Jesus did not elevate women. Equality was introduced to the world by Christ. So let's not forget that, okay? Who were the first people to see Jesus when he rose? Women. Who were the least believed in the time? Women. Who were elevated to be believed at the time because of Jesus? Women. So I'm not even going to have that conversation about that. That we know that much more than nobody else did it. Jesus did it. Women were at the cross with him. They were the first ones to spread the gospel. Women were elevated. Women were given favor. But only women can have babies, and only men can do certain things. Only women can do certain things. And there are respective roles which cater to our strengths. And these are God's ways. And sometimes we are not of his way of thinking. And that's just the way it is. So I women are not excluded from evangelizing. Women are not excluded from any of this, but there are definitely things in scripture about women being the head of a church. So the first time I see something like that, I'm like, oh, nope, nope, nope. That's my first issue. So of course she's a quote unquote reverend in the same vein that Al Sharpton is a reverend. And she's trying to get churchgoers out in battleground states. She's targeting Catholics in Michigan, Wisconsin, and she's targeting the Mormons in Arizona. Oh, I'm sure those Mormons are really going to go for that. She is a longtime Marxist. She believes in trans, and she supports all the trans stuff to the detriment of women. She is all about abortion on demand. She elevates like the trans stuff almost more than that letter gets all of it above all the other letters. She thinks Christianity has been hijacked by white supremacy, all of that stuff. So there you go. A major issue with all of this. So, but that's, you know, I mean, this is what gets me. They're mad because Trump, they said, faked it by working into McDonald's. Well, you're faking it with Jesus right here. What are you talking about? And I dare say that one of them carries a little bit more of a consequence than the other, Kane, it's true. So that's the first thing. So she's doing this souls to the polls thing. All right. I don't know how much that's going to work. The second thing that we got to discuss, although I could talk about the souls to the polls thing more, I'm going to write something up about this here coming up at Substack. I tweeted this out because I saw this video over the weekend. And it was a video of one of those very expensive Hamas tunnels. Did you guys see this? So, they've got extensive tunnels underneath everything. Yahya Sinwar was killed, and there's a video of him. He's apparently been a big obstacle in terms of any kind of negotiation to release the hostages. You got, what, how many, like 97 hostages still? You know, you got Americans that are still being held by Hamas also. And now you have Sinwar, who was killed. There's this video where he was seen going through the tunnels underneath Gaza, and Juan's preparing it for you. And she's like showing, you can see his wife coming through, and I'm watching a video on my screen. His wife comes through the tunnels. I can see this bag. The bag looks like I don't know. It looks like a very expensive bag. It looks like a Birkin. And it is a Birkin. That's a Birkin. And I love these people that are like, how dare you lie about this? Look, women know stuff. Even if we can't afford it, we know certain things. This chonk is carrying a $32,000 bag through the tunnels underneath Gaza. Now, it's a Hermes bag. And I will never purchase a Hermes bag because it is ridiculous to buy. First off, I think everyone's like, oh, Gazans are starving. Maybe you could get this chonk who could barely squeeze through these tunnels carrying a $32,000 tax not included bag to maybe give up some of the food off her plate for people in Gaza. Maybe she could sell her swanky bag and use the profits from that to put food on the plates of people in Gaza. Maybe they could not steal all the food from the people in Gaza that everyone else gives them. But, you know, that would be changing decades of behavior that they've demonstrated since their inception. So this bag, and it is a very expensive bag. It is an Hermes. It is a Birkin. It's named after actress Jane Birkin, and there's like a story behind it. But anyway, the thing is that it's $32,000 bag. Here's the other thing. You can't just walk into a Hermes store and get it. I have never walked into a Hermes store. I know these things because I'm fascinated with human behavior and the consumption that is a tell on someone's psychology. There are people who do. And if you can and you want to, you do your money how you do. I'm very Ayn Rand about it. Do whatever you're going to do with your money. There are people, I would say, if you're hell-bent on purchasing one and you've got the funds to do it, buy it from a dealer, an independent dealer. Do it secondhand. It's like a big finger in the air. And it's allowed. Anyway, so you can't just walk into the store and buy one of these bags. The way it is that you have to spend, if that is like $32,000, you have to spend the equivalent of like $32,000 on other stuff in their store before you are invited to buy the bag. Out of spite, I would never do that. If I were a caprillionaire, out of spite, I couldn't do it. To walk into the store and be like, spend that much. And you have to develop a relationship with the salespeople over years. It is like a big thing. I don't even know what all they have at Hermes. I know that they have the scarves and they have like plates and stuff, and blankets. What the hell would you spend $32,000 on at Hermes? What would you spend that much money on to secure an invitation to purchase a bag? So Sinwar's wife may have walked up into her. Somebody had a relationship that she benefited from, because you know this chonk is not going and buying it from an independent dealer secondhand, y'all. You know she isn't. Come on. They got to have the brand. You know this. They got to have a brand new, not just new for her. It has to be brand new. Come on. I'd be shocked if that wasn't like an equally fancy scarf on, like if it wasn't like specifically made by Hermes, her head covering. Or her shoes or whatever else she was. I mean, that could not be the only thing. If she's going to carry that around, she's got other stuff too that you're just not seeing in the video. Because you don't just do that. People don't even know unless you pay attention to this stuff or you read about celebrity or you're fascinated with human behavior, which I am. And you know this, you see this stuff. I had a friend explain this to me because I was telling her, because her mom's like real bougie. And I was saying, okay, so explain, do you like have to be invited to, you develop a relationship with it and you have to be, she's like, yeah, you have to go and spend all this money and you have to get like their plates or their scarves or this or the belts or the tie, something like that before you, because they don't have them sitting out. You can't just, they're not on shelves. And so you're invited to buy something. And then it may not even be like the whatever color you want. It's whatever they want to invite you to have. And then you still pay the full price for it. Is that not the dumbest thing ever? How does that work? I guess on some people, that kind of exclusion works on them, right? Like they have to show that they're good enough and they have to impress some damn sales associate at a retailer. I don't get it. What was the saying that we that people spend way too much time and way too much money impressing people that they don't like? Sounds like bathroom wisdom, right? Bathroom wall wisdom. But I could not get over. So this is pretty insane. This chick walking. And then I have all the, there's all these apologists that are trying to say that's not. Yes, it is. I'm going to tell you what. There's some fashionistas out there that can spot a Birkin from a mile away. And they got it, like they got her dead to rights. I mean, she doesn't make it difficult. I mean, she can barely fit through the tunnel. So she has to pull her bag like, and she basically holds it right up for the camera because she's so chonky. She can't fit through their little tunnel. But that's, does that tell you everything that you need to know about Hamas? The tunnels for not for thee, but for we, right? Does that tell you everything that you need to know about Hamas? Now, the ongoing, I mean, well, I don't know what is going to end up happening with regard to Lebanon. They've got to create, I mean, basically a zone now that's going to, all of this could be solved if, I don't know, if Iran would just stop through its proxies attacking Israel, but they're not going to do it. So they got to be able to defend themselves. But man, I don't want to hear another damn thing about, oh, well, Gazans are, their government's made. The government is the government that the Gazans elected. And this is the situation that the government they elected created. This is what you voted for. This is what you chose. And in Iran, until people, you know, rise up, and we've seen them try to do that during the Green Revolution, I don't know how much is going to change, if anything. We'll talk more about that with Stephen Yates here coming up. But that's pretty amazing stuff. Now, you also have Tim Walz. We'll talk about this here in a little bit. He's bragging about his trophies. He was on The View, and people, he was asked about his disastrous handling of his shotgun. And he's trying to act like, I can shoot better than everybody else. And you have Donut Operator that asked the dough boy whether or not he wanted to have like a competition in real time to see. And I'm here for that. I would like to watch that all day, please. So we shall see.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh my goodness. Iron Maiden. Now, okay, this is going to kickstart the threes. Paul Di'Anno, dead at 66 years old. He had been left wheelchair bound as he battled health issues. He's been in a wheelchair since 2020, former singer. His family announced this just a little bit ago today. He fronted two albums, Iron Maiden in 1980, Killers in 81. Then he was replaced by Bruce Dickinson. So, and he had been in a wheelchair. But dang, that's 66 years old.
I listened to Iron Maiden all the time when I was younger.
I think a lot of people will start.
I know, it just puts it in perspective. I'm getting old.
Telling you what, you need to have more fries. Right? Telling you. Let's see. Apparently, Gen Z likes to stay home so much, and it's not because of inflation. It's because they hate people, because they were raised by Gen X, is why. Honestly. They said that they're homebodies. Like, all of these Gen Z, they're like, a recent study found that a lot of Americans spend time at home, 10% more than the same groups did, you know, 20 years ago. They said it's been a dramatic shift. Almost every part of our lives now is more likely to take place at home. Like, apparently there's like a homebody generation who doesn't even do happy hour. I've never done happy hour though, and I'm baby Gen X. I've never done happy hour. So I don't, you know. They said bars are a source of social anxiety. I just don't like dealing with people. No, like you guys I like, but you know what I mean? Like, people don't know, I hate making small talk. Like, my nightmare is when someone's like, hey, let's go eat. We're going to bring our friends that you've never met. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to sit there at the table and make them. I can't. Anyway, they will do dinner parties at a home. That's interesting, right? Okay, we got to get to this casket falling out of the car. A funeral home in Poland apologizes because a corpse just straight up fell out of a hearse and onto traffic. This is horrible. This actually happened. It was in Poland, and they said that it was a funeral home. They had to apologize because of it. And I'm rejecting all your stupid cookies. They said that it's called Hades Funeral Service. Of course it is. They were transporting the body when the technical error made it fall into the road. Stephen Yates, up next. Stick with us.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. It's been a wild, it was a wild weekend, and it's we're now right at the cusp of stupid season, like at the peak of stupid season. And I actually am kind of excited about it because that means, Kane, our afternoons are going to be like very, very entertaining and informative. So welcome back. One of the things that we have not yet touched on, and I was waiting because I always like to bring Stephen Yates on and, you know, like, you know, yell gumdrop roads. I don't know. But this story, the U.S. is investigating a leak of highly classified U.S. intelligence about Israel's plans for retaliation against Iran. This leaked somewhere. I've heard people throw around the word treason. Apparently it was marked top secret, meaning it was only supposed to be seen by Five Eyes. That's Canada, New Zealand, Australia, the UK. And it apparently got out into the world from the internet, and nobody knows how it leaked. So on this and other issues, our very good friend, as you know him, Stephen Yates, who is an expert on, there's not anything that he's not an expert on, and he's a foreign policy expert first and foremost, having served in two, not one, but two administrations, the Bush administration. It's like boxing, like when he comes into the corner, the Bush administration, the Trump administration. And he's also a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He joins us now at Yates Comms on X. Good to see you, my friend. So someone said that it was treason to leak this information getting out there, and that how damaging is this leak?
Well, it's extremely damaging. Now, I would just give by way of perspective, when a document is labeled Five Eyes and has special compartmented information labels on it, that is supposed to be really tightly protected. And there's supposed to be heavy penalties for disclosure, all of that. I would say that there's a lot of things that are overclassified, and there's no shortage of documents like that. But when it relates to war plans and an active campaign by an ally under attack by terrorists, you would think that the people might actually respect it. Now, this administration and the Obama administration before had more than the average amount of interaction with the government in Iran and its negotiators. And there's been a lot of things that have been put forward as leaks. I would say this is exceedingly more damaging, because what it does is it exposes Israel at a time of great vulnerability. And I think it's just one of the greatest betrayals of an alliance at a time when they're under attack. So I do believe that our intelligence services and those who exercise oversight can, in fact, identify who did this. They have to have the will to do it, and they have to prosecute heavily. But they've obviously been prosecuting on thought crime and other kinds of things that wastes time and effort, and I think pulls away from protecting actual national security secrets.
Yeah, they said that though they're investigating the, you know, whoever leaked this, they're gonna find out, they're gonna get to the bottom of it. And the they said that they're looking to see who had access to this document from the Pentagon. And I would, it's FBI's it triggered an automatic investigation by the FBI. You know, when they're not, I always thought all their resources had been diverted to investigating parents that were going to school board meetings, but I could be wrong. This is going to go the way of, well, we're going to find out who had the cocaine in the White House. They're not going to find anybody who leaked this. I don't think that they're going to find any, this is just done. They reported that they're investigating. Now they're going to go away and hope the election hides it.
Just like the Supreme Court leaks, there'll be active investigation, and the only bottom they find is the well they've chosen to dig and jump into themselves.
Yeah, that's a very good point with this. And then, of course, keeping with this, the attack, this was wild to me. Drones launched from Lebanon that attack Netanyahu's private residence on Saturday morning. They were, two of them were intercepted. The third exploded in a seaside town. I mean, this is very bold. I mean, Iran is just now not even bothering to go through proxies, I really don't think, anymore. I mean, they've made it very clear, I mean, by launching rockets and everything else. So is this, where does it go from here? Because I just know for like the past 15, almost 20 years, they were always very careful to avoid direct from them. You know, they don't want their fingerprints on it. That's why you had the Houthis and Hezbollah and Hamas. Now they just don't even care anymore. I mean, we all know they were behind these groups, but now they're not. It's like they're not even using them really anymore. They're doing their own thing.
They definitely have crossed that threshold. So it's not even the veneer of they're peaceably going about their way and leaving it to proxies. And frankly, it's, I think, basically providential protection that Israel and its leadership has been as secure as it's been this far in this latest active campaign against them. I mean, it's really a finite geography. A lot of these things can be found on Google Earth, so they're hiding in plain sight. And these smaller drones are in plentiful supply. The Chinese and many others manufacture a lot of them. And it's really hard to defend against because they can go in low altitude and go in numbers. And so in many, many ways, we've been blessed that worse hasn't happened so far in all of this. But really, it just adds, I think, some pepper to the argument that we have to go back to the maximum pressure campaign on Iran. We have to go back to the things we knew worked with the Abraham Accords,
exactly,
of the Arab world aligning with Israel on peaceful interaction, where Arabs could see that Israel was not inhumanely treating people within its own borders. They could see that there was cooperation in deterring Iran, and the United States should be openly supportive of that. But if we've got the Biden administration telling them that they have to hold back or take a ceasefire without their hostages even being returned, and at every turn leaking and otherwise undermining everything they're trying to do to be safe, it's the polar opposite. All they seem to care about is the deal on or the deal off with Iran. And that's just no way to organize American priorities in that dangerous part of the world.
That's a really good point. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at YatesComms on X. Last quick question about this, and then I want to change to this Daily Caller thing about the CCP and their espionage expansion. But you mentioned the Abraham Accords as well, and I know the Saudis had indicated that they are interested in maybe perhaps getting to the point of being party to it. Ultimately, when did the Saudis step in, or have they just stepped in kind of surreptitiously? And it's just, you know, what is the purpose of, or what would be the reason why they just don't put a fist down on all of this right now? Because they obviously have the power and authority in the Middle East and the Arab world to do so.
Well, I mean, it's hard for us because from where we sit, a lot of these things have a rationality that makes a lot of sense to us. For the Saudis, I mean, they got kicked in the teeth by the Biden administration right from the get-go. And then they're on the receiving end of sanctions threats. And then the administration come hat in hand about help us out on gas prices and also take on some of these challenges. All the while, the United States, under their air quotes leadership, is undermining any effective effort to push back against this crisis. Some of our friends and allies in dangerous parts of the world might be given a little grace about they're whipsawed by America, just kind of breathing too hot, too cold to the left, to the right, and they're just waiting for the dust to somewhat settle. I think that if Donald Trump is elected back into the White House, they'll know what to make of him, but they only know of it for 4 years. And so there's going to be some hedging. Unfortunately, this is the position we've put ourselves in. I do think that the Saudis could do much more to stomp on the Houthis that are basically on their own peninsula. I do think that there's more that could be done to balance these things. But really, until there's a United States that kind of gets its head on straight and is somewhat reliable to ally and feared by foe, the rest of the world is kind of taking blind steps in the dark, one stone at a time.
That's a very good point. I mean, we are all suffering because Biden and Harris decided to offend the Saudis right at a moment when it's like they were coming to the table. And, you know, they were right there and we could have had a partnership or, you know, working relationship. Ugh.
So love them or hate them, we needed them.
True. Absolutely. Looking to the other side of the world, Daily Caller had an exclusive where they wrote about the CCP, the espionage under Biden Harris. Here's another gift that they gave us. Expanded rapidly is the description. Their espionage, the illegal immigration of Chinese nationals and other illicit activities, all with the CCP. It is a dramatic increase under the Biden-Harris administration. They called it the China threat snapshot. They released, it was a House Committee on Homeland Security, and you know all about this. I know you probably knew it the second it came out. But they detailed all of these CCP-related cases that occurred. I mean, it's a major uptick. I know everybody is watching what happens to the United States in 2 weeks, particularly Iran and particularly China. This is incredibly disturbing. I mean, you and I talked about how they had their little police substations here. It seems like this was even far beyond their reach, their espionage activities in the United States, far beyond what was initially reported.
Yeah, I don't have any great expectation that people will take the deep dive into this, but they really should. And the Daily Caller, I think above and beyond other outlets, has really taken a consistent investigative journalistic approach to this. And if there's one thing people read before the election and think, this is really on the ballot. You are losing our homeland to a hostile force if we don't change for better leadership. This is what's happening. They're giving the receipts, dive into what's going on. It really is happening in many quarters. We have talked about that fake police station in New York, talked about compromised elected officials, but it's much more comprehensive than that. And we cannot like that truth, but it's there gnawing at the foundations of our country every single day. We got to wise up. So I do hope that people will hit that article. It is true, and I promise it's worse than they've even found, but this is the most comprehensive investigative journalism piece I've seen on this subject in my life.
And it's, it is absolutely stunning. I'll make sure that this goes out in our newsletter as well, but it's the China threat snapshot. It's this report, their House Committee, Homeland Security Subcommittee on Counterterrorism. What was the last quick thing of this? Was there anything that shocked you?
Unfortunately, not very many things shocked me because there's been a lot of this percolating along for a long time. And in some ways, that's what the CCP does well. There's so many different angles of activity. It's really hard for ADD Americans to kind of step back and take the whole picture. And it's hard for editors to approve people or write something that's like a 23-course buffet in an article. But that's the only way to really get a sense of how big, comprehensive, and serious this is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And we'll, like I said, I'll make sure that we share this with the newsletter as well. The biggest thing, I didn't realize that he had simplified to the extent that he did under this administration, the ease for illegal immigrants, specifically from China, since like what, the first year of his administration.
The immigration piece is truly shocking and different, and it's combined with the illegals across the border, but there's other systemic pieces that were done.
Oh, yeah.
And that was basically playing race politics in the United States at the cost of our national security.
It's unbelievable. Stephen Yates at YatesComs on X. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for your expertise. We always appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Would you guys like some salad? Here.
The President of the United States must set a standard, not only for our nation, but understanding the standard that we as a nation must set for the world. You know, we as representing the United States of America walk into rooms around the world with the earned and self-appointed authority to talk about the importance of democracy, rule of law, and have been thought of as a role model, imperfect though we may be, but a role model of what it means to be committed to certain standards.
What in the hell is she doing?
Including international rules and norms, but also standards of decorum.
I can't. I don't get it. Like, stop. What is she even going on about? There's your salad. You got your greens today. You had your salad.
I hate salad. I hate it.
Mmm. Oh my gosh, that's actually a choice on the ballot. She's a choice on the ballot. I actually find myself saying that. I watched when I was listening to her Brett Baer interview and she wasn't answering his questions. I was like, that's literally a choice on the ballot. For instance, real quick, audio soundbite one. I know it was covered at end of last week, but indulge me. I mean, she's like, let's get to the point of not answering questions.
You know, voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but just a number. Do you think it's 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point.
Okay, get to it.
The point is, We have a broken immigration system.
That's not
that
the
needs
point.
To be repaired.
We know
so
that.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
it's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question. I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
No, you weren't. Oh my gosh. She's like, now let's get to the point. You know, and the point is that what we've been discussing, the topic, like everything she can, she's pulling everything. It's like those movies when there's like a killer that busts up into a room and he's getting ready to attack a woman, and the woman's throwing everything that she has to try to get the guy away, like everything she can get, lamps, knives, whatever, you know, pillows, any cups, anything she can throw. That's what Kamala Harris is doing just then. Everything she could throw. Well, I'm going to answer your point. And your point is that the topic of what we are discussing in America, such as... so bad. It's so bad. Oh my gosh. That was rough to watch. I can see now why they were telling Brett they had to wrap it up, waving their hands, being like, nah, wrap it up, Brett. Where in the basement hell were they?
Great question.
Right? It looked like a horror film set. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is, believe it or not, our vice president.
No, it is.
Currently running for president, Kamala Harris. This is her. Talking about Gen Z, apparently the polling's bad for Gen Z, so she's out there saying this, but this is followed by what she said in 2015, and listen to this contrast, listen to this.
I'll tell you, and I know this is a controversial topic for many of us, I love Gen Z. Because we have Gen Zs in our lives, we have kids who are Gen Zs, it can be complicated, I know. I love Gen Z.
And it's a specific phase of life. Remember, age is more than a chronological fact.
Listen to how she loves
what
Gen Z.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought you
that is
them,
why we put them in dormitories. Mm. And they have a resident assistant.
Dormitories.
So, very stupid political move.
Oh, boy. It's like, you know, video does exist. We have it. You know, we can always play it. Run the tape. We can always run the tape. Find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.